Hi, I'm Stephanie, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. And I always say that because I didn't know what an alcoholic was when I came in. I didn't know I was alcoholic. And I'm grateful because they told me that I was, when I went to rehab, that I was dealing with a disease. And that kind of soft-pedaled it, that I wasn't an immoral person. I was a sick person trying to get well. And I like what you said, Bruce, about saying your whole name. I don't care who knows that I'm a member, or, you know, I don't go around telling everybody, but I think it's important, like when you go looking up a person's, well, I don't know their name. There are some people yet I still have to get their last name. I don't know their last name. And I've been around a long time because they've been so secretive. I always say they knew I drank before I knew I did. So it's important. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. First of all, I didn't think I was an alcoholic. We didn't drink. I was. Our roles changed after Vatican II. So there was. I didn't know that the nuns drank. So I found out later they had stashes. But anyway, I didn't drink. And then all of a sudden, when the rules changed, they told me to go get the beer for the house because one of my students' father managed the beer place. So I'd get the beer. I liked beer, but I did not know it was alcoholic. That's how naive I was. And I didn't drink every day at the beginning. So my life wasn't really unmanageable at that time. I didn't drink every day. I would go to the neighbors sometime and have a beer because we had a German lady across the street. She told me to drink a beer every day at 4 o'clock. It's very healthy. So I drank a beer at 4 o'clock. But as time went on, I had to have two beers. Not one. I always had to have two. And I could handle it. I was, you know, it didn't bother me. And I didn't do it every day. And I had a lot, I was very involved. I was a principal. I was in charge of a diocesan program for handicapped all over the diocese. And I had every job anybody wouldn't do. So I was very, very, very busy. But as time went on, I found that having a beer relaxed me. And I felt good. And as it kept progressing, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. But it was progressing. I didn't care if I had a beer once a week or a couple times a week. But as it was progressing, I needed to have a beer every day. And I never drank, I always said I never drank at school time. I never drank in the morning or during school hours. However, the effect of the drink, I learned later, is with us. Is with us. I was powerless over it. I became powerless. I found out another drink was better. It was called wine. And that did it faster than the beer. And I loved it. I loved it. And that is when I was doing it every day. I'd come home from school and I'd get a glass. And you know, we're so honest. I never lied. You asked me how much I drank. I said a glass. But I didn't tell you I refilled it. Where is the powerlessness? Where is, you know? My life wasn't unmanageable yet. You know, I got to school every day. I was never late, never called off. I performed my duties with the diocese. But for everything I had to do for the diocese, like if I had a class with a handicapped or the special people, always had to have a glass of wine before I took over. That fear that I, you get the, a certain fear comes over you that you have to get through. I had to get through. And I didn't see it, but people later, I remember when I went to Gateway, the general superior, you know, called me in and she said, she was telling me what people were saying. And I thought, how do they know? They don't even see me. I don't even go there. But they know. People know. And she was citing the things that were happened. And I couldn't deny that. Couldn't deny that. So, and I didn't want to admit that I was defeated, that I couldn't handle it anymore. It's an awful feeling. It's an awful feeling. And I can remember the day that she confronted me, my mind that afternoon I was going to go visit a friend and have some beer. Well, I didn't have any beer. I went on my way. And but admitting that you're defeated is liberation. You're free. I felt so much freedom when she told me I had to go to Gateway. You know, because prior to this, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know nuns that drank. Boy, did I find out. I didn't know. I really didn't know, and I kept saying to myself, this isn't right. I shouldn't be having to do this to get through. And I can remember one of the teachers saying to me, I think you drank too much last night or something. And I said, no, I didn't, you know. Well, you have that attitude even though you don't realize it. And people were starting to make little end-to-endums to me. And that mental obsession that I had to have it, it got to that point. At the beginning, it was fun. It was just to drink it. And then as it took over, I had to have it. I would say to myself, and I don't know how you talk to yourself, but I talk to myself and say, now today, I'm not going to drink. And I would no sooner get home from school and have a glass of wine. And, you know, the insanity of our disease, too. We're insane. And why do we have to hit a bottom, though. Now, we have high bottoms and low bottoms. I probably had a high bottom, but I hit bottom because I was not functioning the way I should. I did not lose anything, you know, that I would have. I did not. The manageability was more or less how I was going to get the drink and how I was when I could have it, and planning. And when you have to plan what you're going to drink and when, you're in trouble. But I didn't know that until I went to. Who cares to admit weakness? I couldn't, inability. I had to be everybody thought I had control of everything. And I couldn't let them know that I was really suffering. And I would pray and I think, how can I go to somebody and say, I think I drink too much. I think maybe I need help. It came to me. And I thank God. I was never angry that I was confronted. I was never angry. And I wanted this help. And I was so grateful. The only thing that was funny was the day after I was confronted and went to Gateway. I went to Gateway in 20 minutes. That's how fast I moved. And the next day was a big community meeting. And this general superior tells the whole community where I am. So you talk about anonymity. It was blown. Do they know? Do they remember? The people I live with now have no clue. Some know that live with me. But a lot of them have no idea. No idea. And we have to surrender. Did I surrender? Yes. Because I wanted it. I was praying, who could I talk to? And one of the sisters who's a friend of mine used to say to me, Steph, why don't you put the bottle of wine in your closet upstairs? I said, I'm not putting wine in my room. I'll put it where it is. Well, they're watching you. Let them watch me. And I'm still, you know, who cares? Well, that's, I'm still unmanageable at this point. Being in control, we thought we could control it. I say, I'll stop after. And I can remember one Lent. I said, I'm not going to drink during Lent. Ash Wednesday wasn't even over, and I'm drinking a beer. And I think we still have that in us, that, you know, like, I'm not going to eat maybe candy today. Somebody comes along with a bar. There it goes. I mean, we have to, it's a struggle even in our lives now. Maybe I'm not drinking, but I have to control, I have to work. I use the steps to live my life today. I try to live them. My life can get unmanageable. I can demand maybe something from somebody. Like, I have charge of the workers at the mother house, housekeepers. And I could get to a point where, you know, they're wonderful. I don't have to worry about them. But I have to watch that unmanageability of myself, that I don't expect them to be what I, you know, I want. Well, I have to keep the place clean, but I have to apply everything to myself first. And you have to do that. I have to do it every day. I have to do it every day. And I didn't lose anything. Fortunately, I didn't. I could have lost my job. And I didn't. And, you know, and we have to humble ourselves. You know, I thought I was Carrie Nation. I could do everything. And I was expected to do a lot. But since I'm in the program, I have learned the word no sometimes. Now, the last couple months, that didn't work. They needed somebody for the phone. And I was walking down a hall. My ministry today is I'm a chaplain all over St. Mary's and all the West Side nursing homes. And I was walking down a hall. I'd just come back, and the big boss says to me, "Why don't you learn the switchboard?" And her friend said, was with her, said, "Are you out of your mind? She's never here," which I'm not. I'm out of the building more than a minute. "Well, I'll learn that anyway, Steffi." I learned it. I love it. I had it today. I love it. The calls that come in are ridiculous sometimes. But I can be depended upon today. Then another day she says, "Hey, come to my office." Oh, God. And right away, that feeling of, what did you do? And she said, "Maybe you want to sit down." I thought, oh, God, now what? She said, "I want you to take over housekeeping." Well, we had somebody in charge of housekeeping, and she was a little brutal. I mean, when your housekeepers are crying all the time, something's wrong. So I said, "Well, I'm not in the building enough." "You're in enough to know what they're doing." So I'm in charge of, well, they come running, the housekeepers come running down to me before anybody even knew I had the job, and they said, "Oh, we're so happy." And I said, "Why? You had charge before." I said, "When?" "When we first moved to that building, I had charge of them." So we have a happy crew for now. And I pray they don't leave me. But that responsibility came through this program. But I have to remain humble and know that none of this would be able to happen if I hadn't have not followed what I was taught. And I thought I was not, my life wasn't unmanageable. I taught every day. I never called off. I accepted positions that I had. And I had to travel for the diocese. And, you know, when I think of it, traveling under influence. Today I would have had more than one DUI. They didn't give them back then. I was lucky. But that feeling when you're driving and you can't see and you're trying to focus. And then today when I see people texting and, you know, and you're watching them and you think, God, I'm going to get bashed one of these days, you know, because they're not paying attention. I could have killed somebody. I could have killed somebody. That's when I think about that. You know, you think about that. The unmanageability, what I could have done. I always talk about the night that I was working with for the diocese, and we were doing a schedule for the hearing impaired. I also worked with the deaf. And we had to get the schedule for the year done, and that involved all the schools in the area. And the priest that was in charge called me the night before and said, I'm not going to be there. Cancel the meeting. Now, remember, we're very gentle people when we're drinking. And I was so angry at him. I said, I'm having the meeting. I can't cancel and call Meadville and all around and tell them not to come. And in my anger, I planned to have, I'd have the group come, and they came. And I served wine and cheese and crackers and whatnot. And then I finished off the wine. And I'm not unmanageable now. I know what I'm doing. Schedules are all set. Everything's set. And I get in. Now I could have walked across the parking lot to the secretary, but I got in the car. And I thought I was Evel Knievel. I ran a wrought iron fence. And I can remember the next day this nun said to me, oh my God, look at that fence. I said, some jerk from bingo rammed it. Little did I know later, I found out they all knew who did it. Then I had the gall to go to Yergi's garage on 26th and Parade, take the car in and say, I hit an abutment. And I went home. 20 minutes later, he called me, and there's nothing wrong with your car. There wasn't. That car did not even have a scratch. But if I ever want to go back to drinking, I think that 20 minutes after I ran that fence, Cub Scouts would have been in that yard and I would have killed a kid. So if I ever get crazy enough to think that way, I better rethink. That's the unmanageability that we have in our lives. That we, clarity comes after a while. Then as time went on, I used to be all over the place, and then as the drinking increased, I didn't want to go anywhere. Somebody would say, why don't we go here? Why don't we do this? I'd say, no. Well, I wanted to be by myself. And that loneliness that comes over you, you know, it's devastating. It's devastating. I don't like crowds. I never did. But that has nothing to do with the drinking. But I'll tell you that it's a lonely, you know, and I could see that the nuns were starting to not want to include me. But they wouldn't say anything. They just weren't including me. And, you know, that was hard. And like I said, I didn't drink much at the beginning, but at the end, I had to do it every day. But I never did it on school time. One time, the faculty went out at lunch, and they went to Gray's. Gray's was right on 26th Street, off of East Avenue. And they went there for lunch, and they came back late. And I was not happy. Of course, you know, our dispositions are wonderful when we're drinking. So they came back late, and I had to start school without a couple teachers. And I was mad at them. I wasn't mad because they were late. I was mad because I wasn't part of them. Because I couldn't have been there. I had to hold a, you know, certain amount of respect for the school. And so it made me angry. That's another thing. Your personality changes. People were noticing that I was short-fused. I was short-fused because there were times I wasn't able to get a drink, and I wanted it. Do you call that unmanageable? I would say so. And I'm powerless now. I'm powerless. I can't stop. I have to have it. And I had a higher power, but that higher power was, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want anything to happen. And that's how I prayed. But at the end, I'm praying that, who do I go to? Who do I tell somebody I have a problem? I think I have a problem. I'm drinking too much. And then the guilt, because I'm a nun. And like I said, little did I find out. We have problems even now. We have somebody, and somebody said to me the other day, she goes to dialysis, and she's drinking. Do you think you could talk to her? I said, she's not ready. She doesn't want to hear it. We had one who died, and she had a problem. She tried AA and didn't like it, but she didn't die from drinking. She died from an aneurysm. We found her out on the patio. She always said to me, I don't get anything out of these meetings. They talk about their drinking. I said, well, that's the idea. You cannot get anybody. It has to be you wanting it. And so, I always say each day that our admission of powerlessness finally turns to a firm bedrock upon which we have a happy life. And I can't say that I don't have a happy life today. I have a busy life, and today they can trust me. It got to a point they didn't want to ask me to do anything because they knew it might. I always thought I accomplished what I was supposed to do. But I look back now, and I can remember the checkbook. There was one time I looked at it and I couldn't read what I wrote. Our writing, everything becomes bizarre. And I always say that any good comes from any alcoholic unless he first admits it. If an alcoholic comes in and can't surrender and admit that he has a problem, it's not going to work. And he has to have a higher power. You have to have somebody. I don't care who you use as a higher power, but you have to walk the journey with something. And I have to remember who I am, where I came from, and that I have a life today because of this fellowship. And I still try to maintain, think about if I ever have a thought about a drink. One time I was driving and it was a hot day and a big beer truck was in front of me. And I did not entertain that thought. But, we're human, but we have to be very vigilant. That's what I say, vigilant, because I don't want to lose what I have. I have a lot, and I have a wonderful life today, and it's because of you folks. And go to meetings. Go to meetings. When I first came in, I went to 6 a week. And finally they said, you have to stay home one night. And now that I was sober, they wanted to get to know me. And so I had to stay home. And I had a very tough sponsor. My first sponsor was one of the nuns. She was at the hospital. And I didn't know she was an alcoholic. And she was not only an alcoholic, but she was a drug addict. Powerful. But boy, was she tough. Oh my God. We had a power shortage at the convent, and I didn't know what time it was, and I didn't get to the Monday night meeting at St. B's. So I called her when the power came back on. She said, you would have been across the street for a beer. That was her answer. That was her answer. Whoa. So I never gave her any excuses. And then I had to go to the dentist one time, and she said, no Novocaine. And I said, it's not your mouth, it's mine. She's dead now. And then I had another, and then I had a co-sponsor, and she was a travel agent. Do you remember Claire? She was fantastic. So when I didn't like what Angela told me, I'd call Claire. Oh, she had like 40 years, and she'd say, oh, honey, don't worry about it. And, get a sponsor and have somebody to work with you. I had a lot of help. And then when Angela died and Claire died, Claire was in a car accident and died of that. Then I got Mary Lou Hamilton, who died, but she was wonderful. And I have one of the counselors from Pittsburgh that I had at Gateway. I call her, and I also have a sponsor here. She happens to be in Florida right now, but I do connect. So you do need somebody to talk to. And I never want to get complacent and know that I have it all together, because that moment might be the mistake. And I love the program, and I'd do anything for the program. And I think that's it.
Thank you so much, Sister Stephanie. You lived up to the expectations. Thank you so much. Now we have the question and answer portion on this, and I'm going to start off with one, Sister Stephanie. When you're not working your steps, or you don't think when you're not working your steps to the best of your ability, you see that unmanageability roll back?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Then I want to be in control again. And
mm-hmm. And I have one other thing. And I have one other one. You said that you were talking about the progression of your drinking, and you still were quote unquote a functional alcoholic. I know in my situation, and it sounds like that, you think that like the normal street person out there or normal earth person could have managed your own life? Or was it that you just couldn't handle it? Or
I don't know. I could handle it, but I think the point would have come that I would have had to throw in a rag and say, I've had it. And with the help of people, I'm glad I got here when I did. I could have gone all the way down. I could have been sitting in jail. Mm-hmm. I would have had a lot of DUIs. I would have if they gave them at that time. They didn't give them. But I would have had them. So I thank God every day that I was helped.
Anybody out here got a question?
Stephanie, I had somebody come up to me and ask me about you about 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago.
About what?
A gentleman at the Brown Baggers came to me and said, is she a real nun?
Yeah, 65 years of it.
And they didn't believe that you were really a nun. So my question is, did you feel even more responsibility about your unmanageability because you had an authoritative position as a nun, or like maybe a doctor or something like that? I would think that they would feel a lot more pressure thinking that they shouldn't have that problem. Did you have that problem within yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anybody else have a question?
Because of your religious affiliation while you were drinking, how was your spiritual situation changed, with the higher power? Did you not pray and not have faith anymore?
And I prayed. I wish I would know what to do. I did pray, but I didn't have the prayer that I have today. Get me out of it. Most of it was get me out of this mess. I hope nobody saw me or knows that I was drinking last night. It's an awful, it's like a weight on you, And now I don't have to, I can go anywhere. And, I don't know if they, when they don't see me go out, I don't know where they think I'm going. And I don't care. If I can help somebody, that's the important part. And a person that asks you, yeah, I'm a real nun, tell them. I have proof.
Sister, when did you actually realize that you were powerless over alcohol? When was it while
the
you were drinking?
The day I was confronted. The day I got confronted. And that nun, we just buried her a couple months ago. She had Alzheimer's. Wonderful woman. Every year she'd say to me, I'm so proud of you. And I always said to her, thank you. because it was through her. She was so kind. I was waiting to get blasted. She was so kind. And I just have a wonderful life today. And I'm not ashamed being an alcoholic. I probably have helped more people in this role than I do as a religious.
And I like how you said that. You know, we always seem to be the last ones to know. You know, the people around us know well before us.
Oh, everybody knew what I was drinking and went, yeah, I was amazed what they knew.
There anybody else?
Oh, Bruce.
Thank you, Stephanie. This is old Bruce. And then 12 and 12 here, there's a question at the end of the forward about step one, and it says, why must every AA hit bottom? And my bottom is different than yours, and Jack's is different than mine, and so on and so forth. And my little bit of history knowledge is, back in the day, they wouldn't have taken a character like me, because they used to be really, you know, they wanted the under the railroad ties type bottom. So what's your thoughts on that, about why must everybody hit their own bottom?
Well, I think that that's what I thought too. That's what I thought an alcoholic was, the guys under the bridge in trench coats walking around with those brown paper bags. Today, a bottom can be, like I said, mine was the fact that I had a drink every day. And then the obsession was there. As soon as I got home from school, I have to relax. And that's how I used it as, but that bottom was there. And then, of course, the crash that I could have killed a kid, finally, you know, but I still didn't do anything until I was confronted. I didn't know what to do. So everybody's is different. And today we don't look at it. You'd be amazed at the professionals I know out there that are in this fellowship. You don't have to be ashamed that you're an alcoholic or a drug addict. You don't have to be ashamed, because you're doing something about it. You're doing something about it. And I'm grateful. And I'm grateful for the people in these rooms. I look forward to seeing new people. You are the people who understand me. I got those crazy nuns sometimes. Whoa! I love them, but oh boy. I always think, I wish they had a program. And we have a priest that deals with, he works with Ecclesia, which is helping people with combat that have problems. And not, some are alcoholic, and he alludes to the 12 steps in his homilies a lot of times. And a lot of priests do. And there's a group of nuns throughout the United States. I belong to them. ICPAs, the International Communities of Alcoholics. And you'd be amazed how many religious throughout the country there are in the program. At one time, we were under the carpet. I had a superior in Johnsonburg, and I didn't know this, but every night she'd be... And we were young sisters, so we didn't know. And one time somebody said, didn't you know she drank every night? She was drinking her Christian brother brandy. When she became my patient, she had Alzheimer's by now. Then, and I used to laugh, and I'd say to the nurses, maybe she needs a shot of that, you know, to calm her down. But yeah, I did realize that, and we have to, you know, I'm there if they need me. And I do deal with other communities, too.
Well, thank you very much, Sister Stephanie. Hold on there. A little token. Your certificate's somewhere.